Hi, this is Chris Kepler with Does This Happen to You? The podcast where we explore the more bizarre ways of getting through your day. This week, we have a story by Alec Sharma, who you can find on Medium.com. And here is The Curious Incident of the Cat in the Daytime. I was on my way home one day and was excited about it. There's something comforting about being able to go into your house when you know you won't have to leave it until the next morning. But wait, I did have to do something. I had to get cash for Reuben, a fantastic man who comes by with his family to clean the apartment every 3 weeks. What made this a harder chore to stomach was that I already had my dinner with me, a steaming oriental wrap from Whole Foods. Suppressing my pangs of hunger, I passed my apartment and headed for my favorite corner store, where I made a variety of confident decisions, such as withdrawing my cash as planned, buying a bag of chips that were both salted and peppered, and purchasing candied peach rings as a reward for withdrawing the cash. As I began the return journey, I heard the sound of meowing coming from somewhere. Whenever this happens, I do my best to find the source because I always like to meet wandering cats and check in with them. A cursory glance revealed no signs of motion, but I pride myself on my cat radar and persisted. I began a slow pan around the area and eventually realized that the plaintive yowls were coming from above me. I looked up, expecting to see a cat in a window shouting expletives at passerbys. While I did see a cat, I had gotten the preposition wrong. There, perched on top of the window, was an orange cat, clearly a victim of chance. "Oh my God," I said, mostly to myself, but not entirely because I said it out loud. I had been sure that this type of thing only happened in pieces of fiction, and now I had been proven wrong. My whole world had been shaken. Anything could happen now. I should pause here and explain the photo, even though I didn't take it until much later. If you look closely, you should see a square hinged panel on the window screen. Presumably, the cat had exited the apartment through this opening, scrambled up the screen with his claws, and then onto the top of the frame. I imagined the cat thinking something like this. "Birds are high. I can jump, but not as high. What is this thing? It is high. I will reach birds, jump less, and sleep more if I climb this. I have climbed this. I am on top of this. Where are birds? I cannot get down. Oh, shit, where is my human?" I looked around me. The street was deserted. No one else had stopped or heard this cat. I looked mournfully at the provisions in my hands and then placed them on top of a nearby trash can. At this point, I was involved in the situation. I considered my options. I could call 911 immediately, but that seemed almost like cheating. Sure, the firemen would come and save the cat, but there had to be a more clever way around this. Then, a beaten-down car pulled up in front of the apartment, and a woman in a red jumpsuit exited with a pizza box under one arm. The word DoorDash, the name of a food delivery startup, was emblazoned on every arm and leg. She was dropping food off for one of the apartment's occupants. Fate had smiled on me. "Excuse me, do you see that cat?" I cried, pointing upwards. The woman's eyes widened in terror at this madman standing before her. "Up in the window," I clarified, trying to salvage my sanity. Jumpsuit was intrigued. She moved along the edge of the sidewalk and looked up at the side of the building. The cat was pacing back and forth, performing ghastly contortions to stay balanced on the window frame. "Oh my God," she said, realizing that she too was now involved in the situation. A few tense minutes passed as we gazed up at this fuzzy gargoyle. "How did he get up there?" she asked me.
"I have no idea," I responded truthfully, for the heat of the battle was clouding my perception, and I would not notice the opening in the screen until later. Jumpsuit and I both wrung our hands in our shared experience of consternation. We had inadvertently bonded while a small animal's life hung in the balance.
Romance!
But Jumpsuit was now riveted by the tortured yowls of the cat. I would have to redirect her attention to her ongoing job.
"So you work at DoorDash?" I asked.
"Oh, yes," she said shyly. "It's okay. I work at Postmates," I assured her, as if working at another food delivery startup would be soothing knowledge in the midst of this crisis. I saw her glance at the food resting on the trash and back to me.
"Oh, I do too," she said slyly.
Jumpsuit worked for both DoorDash and Postmates. Every courier did. And my new ally thought I was a courier, which I wasn't. I didn't correct her, however, for fear of jeopardizing the relationship. The last thing a non-engineer in San Francisco wants to hear is that you are an engineer.
She turned to me in excitement. "What should we do?"
"Well," with a cinematic pause, "don't you have to deliver that pizza to someone in the building?"
"Shit," said Jumpsuit. "I completely forgot."
She whipped out her phone and began texting the pizza's recipient. Her fingers skittered across the keypad with practiced aplomb. As she communicated a stream of auto-corrected apologies to the receiver of this pizza, I casually related my plan.
"Hey, so, since you're going into the building anyway, maybe you could knock on some doors and figure out who owns that cat."
Jumpsuit gulped. It was clear that this was more involved in the situation than she wanted to be.
"What if the owner isn't home?" she asked uncertainly.
"It's our only hope," I said firmly. "That cat is counting on you, Jumpsuit." She nodded her assent and was buzzed almost instantly into the building. Someone had an urgent need for that pizza. I paced nervously beneath the cat, who was still piercing the otherwise still air with his cries. I felt like I had to talk to the cat, keep him busy.
"It's going to be fine," I tried, but because the cat was fairly high up, he probably couldn't hear me, so I had to raise my voice. "It's going to be fine,"
I shouted up to the cat, as two fashionably dressed women passed me on the sidewalk. I turned to smile at them, and they whispered to each other in French. Jumpsuit raced outside as the building's gate clanged shut.
"I couldn't find the apartment. How is he?" she asked.
A brief image of me operating on a patient in terminal condition popped into my mind.
"He's stable," I responded in character, "but we need to try something else."
Jumpsuit and I spent a tense couple of minutes cursing and cajoling the cat.
"Don't do it! Climb back the way you came, you fool! You have so much to live for!"
The two French women had stopped on the corner and were staring at us. We didn't care. On cue, there came a shout from up above. A shirtless man had appeared in the window.
"What's going on?"
he shouted down. He had a slight lisp and rubbed his eyes groggily as if waking from a nap.
"I heard a cat!"
he shouted down. Shirtless's appearance at the window was like Moses at Mount Sinai, albeit more bumbling and well-trimmed. Jumpsuit and I shouted in unison,
"Is that your cat?" "What cat?"
Shirtless shouted back.
"The cat on your window frame!"
Shirtless had to squat to see the top of the frame, then shot back up with a start.
"Oh my God!" he said.
That phrase seemed to be a rite of passage for anyone getting involved in the situation.
"Oh my God! Mr. Blumenberry! What are you doing?"
Embarrassed at his predicament, Mr. Blumenberry did not respond to his owner. Shirtless sputtered as he struggled to find words his cat would understand. But this was futile. for Mr. Blumenberry was Dutch and spoke little English. Here is a frequency breakdown of Shirtless's favorite sentences. Mr. Blumenberry, you're in big trouble. This is a classic parental response. Using a stern tone, admonish your cat as you would a child. Oh my God! Repeat the phrase you uttered to become involved in this situation. Express disbelief plainly on your face and guilt your cat into sympathetic action.
Get in here!
Demean your cat by ordering him forward like a dog. None of these worked, of course. Eventually, Shirtless tried to reach through the square panel in the screen, which required him to kneel and press his face against the screen in profile, an ancient Egyptian hieroglyph clawing desperately at the air beneath Mr. B. Shirtless's show of emotion caused a ripple effect. Mr. B, seeing a disembodied arm emerge from the window, crouched as if preparing to jump. Les deux femmes ran forward instinctively from the corner, a chorus of no's erupting from the bystanders. All of this surprised Mr. B enough to reconsider losing one of his 9 lives. Jumpsuit had had enough of Shirtless and his futile attempts to grab Mr. B.
Just take the screen off, she cried.
Shirtless had clearly been driven mad by the situation.
What are you even saying?
Screamed Shirtless, spittle flying from his mouth. He then disappeared from the window. The crowd held its collective breath. We could hear Shirtless rummaging inside of his apartment for a tool to extricate Mr. B. Frantic, frequent clangs and thumps poured out of the building like a Foley studio. He reappeared several times at the window, visibly disturbed by the possibility that Jumpsuit may have given good advice regarding the screen. Tension at the scene was high. Mr. B, growing increasingly agitated, was performing ever more dangerous stunts. Each one was met with waves of emotion from the audience. This was a circus act for one feline and no net. But wait, there was a net. In my pessimistic rambling, I've forgotten to mention that Les Deux Femmes had come up with a brilliant idea. By removing their jackets, holding them together, and pulling in opposite directions, they had created a makeshift life net. As they walked towards Jumpsuit and me, they nodded at their invention, and we nodded at their genius. I removed my cardigan and added it to our quilted trampoline. Jumpsuit was helpless to contribute in her attire. There was no conversation now. We clasped our hands together and craned our necks upwards. If Mr. B wanted to jump now, so be it. We were prepared. When he moved, the motley crew of would-be rescuers moved. We were all entangled at a quantum level with this cat. I glanced behind me to see if anyone was watching. There were quite a few. A father and his son held their phones in front of their faces defensively, recording everything. An elderly gentleman grinned from his motorcycle but made no move to help. Bastard. A guy and a girl held hands while watching the events unfold. What could be more romantic or warm and fuzzy than a cat falling to his death? All of these people were on the other side of the street, which seemed to be the dividing line for getting involved in the situation. As I thought this, a lanky student walked by on our side of the street, took in the scene, and instantly removed his hoodie and joined the life net. Mr. Blumenberry looked down at us in amazement. What were these stupid humans doing? We were doing what any rational humans would do in this situation, take our clothes off to create a makeshift trampoline for an imperiled cat. The street was quiet now, save for the synchronized breaths of the LifeNet members and the pleas of Mr. B. No one dared to speak, for fear of dissolving the serendipitous forces that had brought us together. Les deux femmes clutched each other wordlessly. Hoodie appeared to be a monk of some kind, as he had yet to break his vow of silence since joining us. Even Jumpsuit, normally so talkative, said nothing. Movement! Behind the screen, Shirtless brandished some kind of tool, perhaps a screwdriver. The screen shuddered as Shirtless began to peel away the corners. The life net rippled in anticipation, but we kept our mouths shut. This was a military extraction. The final screw removed, Shirtless flung the screen and tool aside for the upcoming reunion. "Come here," he said softly, his voice breaking. Mr. Blumenberry, realizing that the outstretched hands were his only way down, toppled inelegantly into his owner's arms. The crowd below exploded into cheers. Shirtless held his cat for a moment in a sort of Lion King pose before ducking back into his apartment and cranking the window shut. The life net disintegrated. Les deux femmes smiled at us and walked away, arm in arm. Hoodie nodded once and clambered onto a black bike I had not noticed before. I turned to Jumpsuit and said, "Good luck with the rest of your deliveries." She laughed, got into her car, and sped off in a cloud of exhaust. I was left alone on the pavement, staring up at the window. My sense of smell, abandoned during the crisis, slowly came back to me, and the fumes from my Oriental wrap hit me. It did not smell as good as I remembered, perhaps because the smell of cat rescue is more powerful. Epilogue. The last bit of human interaction caused by this event occurred as I was collecting my provisions and starting home. The girl from the couple holding hands passed me, saw the candied peach rings, and said, "Great snack choice." "Your favorite too?" I asked, still high from interacting with strangers. She didn't respond. Perhaps she didn't hear me, but more likely the magic of this event was over, and I had overestimated its duration. So I went home and ate my Oriental wrap. It was delicious. If you'd like to read more stories from Alec Sharma, you can find him on Medium.com in the Creative Cafe. Thanks so much for listening. If you like this story or my podcast, please share and let me know. You'll find me on Twitter at Chris KK Aria, Pinterest, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Remember, it's Chris with a K. I'm always looking for fun stories to narrate, so if you're an author or writer with a story which fits the "Does This Happen to You?" theme, please contact me or comment on my Podbean page. You can hire me to narrate and produce your book into an audiobook ready for upload to Audible, too. Want to hear more stories like this more often? Please become my podcast patron. Just click the link on my Podbean page.